Well, it's my privilege tonight to teach this last session, and I know Pastor already said it, but we're so thankful all of you have come and supported this, and I know your lives have been enriched for sure. And I know a lot of these teachings are a little bit, have been basic, but we need to be reminded of the things that the Word of God has to say about the Holy Spirit, our helper. I realize many of you in here, probably most, have already received the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit as well. But we want to go ahead and cover that tonight. And this is real good information for us to be reminded of. You can take notes, and this is good information for you when you are ministering to someone else that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, on Sunday morning, Pastor covered, he got a lot of different directions. It was an amazing message. If you weren't here, you want to go back and listen to that. But part of his message was he talked about the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. And I've been reading recently a book by Brother Kenneth E. Hagin called The Spirit Within and The Spirit Withon. It's excellent. It's such a good book. And if you want more in-depth a study about the difference of the Holy Spirit being in us and the power coming upon us, that would be a really good book for you to get. And let me also remind you now, if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit yet, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you still can sign up. Of course, if you're watching online, you can just come on Sunday morning, Sunday night as well. But if you're here, please sign up so you can get that wonderful book, Seven Vital Steps to Receiving the Holy Spirit. But I want to quote something that Dad Hagin said about the book that I mentioned, The Spirit Within and The Spirit Upon. He said, believers have been confused about this subsequent experience, and theologians and church leaders have debated the subject throughout the centuries. And of course, we're talking about what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit versus being born again and the Holy Spirit living in every believer. Yet from the Bible, we clearly see two separate and distinct workings. Let's examine the purpose of this dual working of the Spirit of God. For the Spirit within us in the new birth is for character, and the Spirit upon us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for service. I love how he distinctly points out those differences. So tonight, I want to just answer some questions that maybe some of you have had asked you, or perhaps you that are not yet filled have thought about. One of them is this: didn't I receive the Holy Spirit when I was born again? Well, of course, the answer is yes, of course. When you get born again, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit that come to indwell every single believer. And Pastor read this on Sunday. I want to reiterate it as we start. John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. So once again, every believer that is born again, and if you are a believer, that means you have asked Jesus into your heart. You have the Holy Spirit as a well on the inside of you. But tonight we are going to look at, there is another experience subsequent to being born again called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when we receive this experience, it causes the wells of salvation on the inside of us to become flowing rivers that flow out of us. And Jesus, he told us how important it is for all of us to desire this experience. How many of you want everything that Jesus came to give? We've learned in by being in a wonderful church like this, we've learned it's not just salvation. Salvation's all inclusive, but it's healing. Praise God. He wants to prosper us. Praise God. And He wants to fill us with power from on high. Praise God for that. Amen. So this is what Jesus said. We need to desire these things. In John 7, verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood. This is Jesus. It's in red. And cried out saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? Do you want more of Him? In the natural, have you ever been really thirsty? And you know, sometimes when people get really thirsty, they drink of other things other than water, and it won't satisfy like H2O. I mean, you know, growing up in Oklahoma, I told someone the other day, oh, it was actually my granddaughter. I was down visiting them, and I discovered that she recently has fallen in love with Dr. Pepper. And I gave her a fist pump because, you know, I said, oh, yay, you got that gene from Grammy. It's not actually a good thing to have. But anyway, have you ever been thirsty? I've been thirsty before, and I thought, oh, I'll just drink a Dr. Pepper. And you know what happens? It might taste good going down, but I'm still thirsty because we need water to quench that thirst. It's the same spiritually. People can be so thirsty spiritually and not realize that it's someone on the inside that needs to be taking a drink of living water. People get spiritually thirsty and they try to drink from other wells. They try to drink from the entertainment of this world or this or that. And nothing will satisfy. Only Jesus and only drinking in of Him. He's the only thing that can quench the thirst of our hearts. And I love how He says here, come to me and drink. He didn't say, come to me and think. Think about it. Well, do I want Jesus? Do I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? No, He said, just come to me and drink in of the wells that I have. Drink in of the living water that I provide. Once we drink in of Him, once we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, what can we expect to happen in our lives? Well, again, in John chapter 7, let's look at verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his heart, will flow rivers of living water. And then verse 38 is interesting. But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's speaking of this promise to come once he is gone physically from this earth. And don't you like that he said, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Again, when we get born again, we have this wonderful deep well of salvation. But when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we've got rivers that flow out of us. It's like this. I'm going to have my lovely assistant, PN, come help me here. You know, every time I think about doing an illustration, I think about PN, all those years I've been children's pastor. She was awesome. So this is the deal. When you get born again, your cup is full, pretty full. And that's awesome. And you drink from that cup. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what begins to happen? Overflow. We didn't spill. We did good. We did overflow. So the deal is this. We drink from the cup. And I don't know, Ingrid's in here. She did a great job singing tonight. But yesterday she gave us this illustration. It got bigger on the inside of me. We drink from the cup. But other people are going to drink from the overflow. And that's the difference. And you've been born again and you've been filled to overflowing. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, something that Brother Hagin has said or he taught. He had many visions of Jesus. And in one of his visions, the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "It is my will under the new covenant that every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit." We know the Word of God backs that up. But it's also awesome that Jesus personally said that to him. That puts such precedence and puts importance and value on every one of us being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not just for a select few. That's another question some people have. Well, you know, I can kind of see it in the Bible, but is it just for the super duper spiritual people? No. And then other people will say, well, did it pass away when the last apostle or disciple died? What's the answer to that? Absolutely not. In Acts chapter 2, 39, I didn't give you all this scripture up there, and I'll just quote it. "For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Hallelujah. The promise is to you, to your children. It's a generational blessing and promise from the Lord. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. All the criteria for receiving is you must be born again. How many of you in here are born again? If you are born again, if you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, then you are a candidate to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know some of you qualify for that part where it says, all who are afar off. There's some people in here who were afar off and were far out. And now you're a firebrand for Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, what a difference getting filled with the Holy Spirit makes. Hallelujah. So let's just look at some of Jesus' further instruction. In his final appearance to his disciples before he was ascended up into heaven, before he was caught up, over in Acts chapter 1, this was his last instructions to them. Last instructions carry a lot of weight. If you've got perhaps, you know, a teenager and you're going to let them stay home by themselves for a period of time, the last thing you tell them is what you want them to really remember. And usually the last thing is lock the door and don't open it for anyone else. So it's important for us to know he said this, the very last thing he said before he ascended. And it's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Hallelujah. How many are a candidate for some more power, ability, efficiency, and might? Glory be to God. And then he also said over in Luke chapter 24, 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Many translations of that word "endued," it literally means clothed. Power is part of God's wardrobe for his children. Glory to God. And it says here, this promise is from the Father. And you'll also note in this passage, he told them they needed to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued. And sometimes, you know, scriptures can be taken out of context, and through the ages, down through the church ages, those that are Pentecostal believers, some of them have built a doctrine on tarry. You gotta wait. And you gotta tarry. Well, the background here, Jesus told them that because he had not yet ascended and the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen and been given. So of course they had to wait. But for us, there is no waiting. There is no tarrying. Now I could ask Pastor Tom, I don't know if he experienced this as a kid, but I'm telling you, in the church that I grew up in, you know, if you wanted to get filled with the Holy Spirit, it wasn't for the weak. You had to know that if you were going to come to the altar, you were probably going to have at least 20 hands on you. And some of the saints were going to be saying, hold on. And some of them were going to be saying, let loose. And you're like, what is it? Do I hold on or do I let loose? And it was sort of an understood thing that if you were really going to get a real dose of the Holy Ghost, it wasn't going to happen until after midnight because you had to tarry. And I think what happened was the after midnight deal was because people just got so exhausted and worn out, they finally yielded. But we don't have to do that anymore. Hallelujah. We get to receive when we ask. Glory to God. So why don't we look over at Acts chapter 2. If the church started out with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, how much more should we wrap up this end of the age filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. So Acts chapter 2 verse 1, we'll begin there. Hallelujah. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. We don't have time to go into all of this, but that was an important date. It was a feast date, and it was an appointed time for the Holy Spirit to descend the first time on this day. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Notice, a sound from heaven, not from hell. That's another thing that we probably need to address. Some people and some whole denominations have said that speaking in tongues is of the devil and it's from hell. Well, that wasn't on that day. This sound of the Holy Spirit being poured out came from heaven. And the other thing about that is speaking in tongues is of the devil. Why aren't all of the worst criminals around the world speaking in tongues? No. It's from heaven. And then I love how it, verse 2, and suddenly, glory be to God. That suddenly means the Holy Spirit had been waiting his turn. He'd been here helping that creation. He'd been anointing Jesus, but now was his time to come down and consume the believer. So it said, suddenly he showed up on the scene. Glory be to God, like a rushing mighty wind. And not just the people shook, the whole building shook. Hallelujah. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Woo! The Holy Ghost and fire sat up on them. We used to have a little picture in my Sunday school class of the 120 getting filled, and that was awesome. But that just looked like a little, I never smoked and I've never flicked a bit, but you know, a little flick of the Bic lighter, if you know what I'm talking about, a teeny little flame. No, it wasn't like that. He sat up on them. When, oh, I got to do it. We got a few minutes. when somebody sets on you. Woo-hoo-hoo! Did you feel that?
I did.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Anyway. When someone sits on you, especially at my weight, which is not going to be disclosed, you know you have been sat up on. The Holy Ghost sat upon them, and they sensed His presence from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. They were consumed with the fire of God. Fire accompanies being filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to hear more about that? Come back on Sunday night. Hallelujah. We got to stay on track here. Glory to God. And then some people will say, well, do I have to speak in tongues? The answer is you get to speak in tongues. Tongues is a heavenly language, comes right from the throne room of grace. We all have our own individual personal language. It's like a hotline to heaven, and the devil doesn't understand it. Woo-hoo-hoo! Glory. I know I'm supposed to teach. This is me teaching, in case you're wondering. Anyway, and the other question about... Well, I just felt it all of a sudden. You know, we don't walk by feelings. Woo! The anointing comes upon us. Hallelujah. And turns us into another person. And that's what's happening here. So, you might say, do I have to speak in tongues? Well, do you want to follow our biblical example? Let's keep reading here in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Another thing that has been kind of confusing in people's minds about receiving the Holy Spirit is they think the Holy Spirit is going to make me talk. He's going to grab my tongue, and as hard as I fight not to speak, He's going to make me speak. But that's not what the scripture says. It says they began to speak. The Holy Spirit gives the utterance, and the unction comes upon us. But we have to yield, don't we? Anybody else experience that? How'd you get filled with the Holy Spirit? You had to open your mouth. I've seen people literally like they're clenching their teeth. If the Holy Ghost, He'll make me talk. No, He doesn't grab your tongue uncontrollably. It's our voice and it's our tongue, but it's His power on us and flowing through us. Hallelujah. Have you ever wondered, I know I have, about why in the world is speaking in tongues the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I was thinking about that one time, and I'm sure it's no revelation just to me, but it went off in my heart. I believe one of the reasons that's the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is because when the Holy Spirit has your tongue, He has you. Our tongue is the most unruly member in our body. And when we yield to the point that we're speaking in other tongues, it means the Holy Spirit has us. Amen. I think that's a good point. Glory to God. Well, we don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to mention this. Our last point is this, is being filled and speaking in tongues a one-time event. Some of the old saints had this attitude. Well, I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost 50 years ago. Well, how about today? It's not a one-time event. Why do we need to drink water every day? Because we get thirsty and we leak. Well, it's the same with being filled with the Spirit. We need constant infillings because we leak. And that will be found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Being filled denotes a continuous action. We drink in of water every day, and every day we need to drink in of the Holy Spirit. One filling and one dose is not enough for me. How about you? I want to be, I want to get, I want to be, and I want to stay full. Let me close with this quote by a wonderful man of God, Howard Carter. He was one of the Pentecostal world's most renowned teachers on the subject of spiritual gifts. He said, "We must not forget that speaking with other tongues is not only the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling, but is also a continual experience for the rest of one's life." For what purpose? To assist in the worship of God. Speaking in tongues, Reverend Carter said, is a flowing stream that should never dry up and that will enrich one's life spiritually. There are many more benefits to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you'll be able to discuss some in your small groups tonight. But He's such a helper in our prayer. He assists us in worship to so many. How many of you are thankful for being filled with the Holy Spirit?